This is Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
By 6140 Running Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
By Diamond Ag, your local ag retailer supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville.
She throws the first three in a row for Lockridge! The Rockets have won three state titles in a row in softball.
And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. And now, from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito, here's Jim Taylor and Ty Taylor with Sportsline.
It is the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito, a tradition that started back in 1979. We'll talk about some high school basketball a bit later in the program, some wild games last night in the track. We'll get to that, but a chance to visit with the new head football coach of the Mercer County Golden Eagles. But before we talk about that, I was hoping Fred Lucas today would have a Westwood Wolfpack sweatshirt on, man, but he doesn't do it. Congratulations, Coach Lucas. It was a week ago Wednesday you were hired, so tell us a little bit about the reaction, and let's plow forward here and what you're looking forward to as we talk about this upcoming season.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. I appreciate it. I only have just an old dirty old Westwood Wolfpack hat left over. I don't know that I could still fit in any of the t-shirts I had back then. Anyway, that was almost 20 years ago. It's been a pretty good few weeks. The reception I've got from the players on our first meeting, and you know, some of the people in the community. It's been a pretty good experience the last week, and looking forward to getting started to it.
Yeah, and I think you started coaching probably, what, fresh out of college or maybe even before college?
I was still in college the first year that I was a paid assistant. It was the fall of 1992. So it goes back
so,
a few
so
years.
It's interesting because a lot of people refer – you grew up in Western Illinois, and a lot of people, you know, look at – that the part of the state they call it Forgottonia, right? Because state government or federal government, they forget about this, you know, area of the state. But I know, like with school reorganizations, you know, it's so interesting because we've been in the hotbed and where you grew up at, you know, and where you've coached at, we've dealt with some of that. A kid that played at Northwestern High School, right?
Yep.
Which is in Scioto. And of course, they were an independent small school that had success. But then through the years would co-op with La Harpe. They're now part of the West Prairie School District. Of course, you coached at United, which was a consolidated district. You were part of co-op with Roseville and Yorkwood. Yorkwood and Westmer, now we see like Mercer County, a consolidated school district. You've watched that firsthand, right? Being a kid that grew up in Western Illinois. How do you see all that playing out? And they always say the toughest thing to kill is a mascot, and sometimes that can be true. It is true. And the easiest way to maybe to cure that is the community coming together. What way? Through interscholastic athletics.
Right,
man, that
yeah.
was a long phrase question.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. I'll try to unpack all that again. But what was the line that the kid Ollie said in Hoosiers, you know, about progress, you know, being indoor plumbing and school.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way it's been the last, 30 some years. And it's progress that's born out of necessity. You know, you look at declining numbers in small schools, and what's one way that we can do to keep. And back then, you know, 30 years ago, when the co-op boom was kind of going, you know, eight-man football wasn't an option or discussed about back then. So that was the way that small schools could survive. And you know, you join a couple small schools together and keep your football program alive. And I've seen my fair share of it, certainly in the last 30 some years, from you know, my first opportunity to coach football with the Northwestern La Harpe Co-op and the Roseville Yorkwood Co-op, the Yorkwood Westmer Co-op, you know, united into the Yorkwood into the United Consolidation. So it's been most of my career.
Yeah. So I know your background. So you got to coach with Lyle Pierce, a legend down in that part of the state. You got to coach with Tim Egebretson. You know, and then, like, you've been around, and I know how highly Brad Dixon speaks of you. You know, what about kind of leaning on some of those resources? Because it is a fraternity, and you don't want to walk at this thing alone, I know.
Right, yeah. You know, I've been very, very fortunate in my career to be associated with some outstanding men that are football coaches. I actually spent my first year as a teacher was at Abingdon High School, and Dennis Larson was the head coach at Abingdon at the time. So, you know, the 4 years that I played high school football in Scioto at Northwestern High School, Bill McCarty was my head football coach. And that was his first head coaching job. And then, you know, on to here, and everybody knows the success that he had here. So, like I said, I've been very fortunate to be around those guys and build those relationships over time and the friendships that have evolved from that.
So it's weird you mention what a small world it is. So Dennis Larson, then did he eventually coach at Knoxville?
He was at Knoxville before that, long before.
So his son is like serving as the engineer for one of these like multi-use path projects. Okay. You know, yeah. he just brought up Dennis Larson. But it's all about moving forward, being a new coach and looking to 2025 and not looking in the rear view mirror. But what do you see as some of the, you know, opportunities looking into this 2025 season?
Well, we've got a good group of seniors coming up, and that's one of the reasons I felt that prompted me to apply for the job. You know, they're a good group of kids. They were looking at, you know, having their third head football coach in 4 years of high school football, and I felt like I could provide some consistency and stability for them in their careers. And you know, the junior high programs, I've heard there were 40 kids out for football in junior high. So I think the numbers are there to build as we look going forward.
Well, that's something that I know, like at the tail end of last season, dealing with some injuries and stuff, like it felt like the overall numbers were really low for the program. And I know that's the case kind of everywhere, really. You see declining participation numbers. You talked about that a little earlier. So speaking specifically about Mercer County, is there any, you know, maybe strategy you think or things you can do to try to get the numbers back up for the program? I mean, just with your you know, long time as a football coach around the area, anything specifically you think you can do to try to get more kids out?
You know, we just try to be a salesman for our product. And, you know, it could be the old school way. I've done it before at United. You're going to meet with the kids in the junior high. When I was an eighth grade kid in Good Hope in 1986, I received a letter in the mail from the newly hired football coach, Bill McCarty. And, you know, that was something that was kind of neat, that as a kid, you get this letter from the coach and, you know, generate some interest that way. But, you know, we're going to go out, and we can also use the guys in our program to advocate for us as well. You know, there's no better person to advocate than the kids that are in our program to help build the numbers. You know, some of our classes are just small classes. You know, some of them have never had a lot of kids out, but, you know, we're just trying to get out, meet as many kids as we can, and, you know, like I said, use the guys in our program to help us promote it.
Well, I would think taking over a program where you've been an established assistant for, you know, 7 or 8 seasons is a lot different than being a new guy coming in to take over a program with brand new kids in a brand new district and everything. So with that background you have kind of with the kids already and the program and community too, do you feel like that gives you maybe a little bit of advantage getting started as opposed to if you were taking over completely new?
Oh yeah, definitely. Rather than coming into something blind and not having any idea, you know, that's definitely got to be an advantage for me. And again, like I said, we've got a good group of seniors and the kids that we have in all the younger levels. Our freshman class had a decent number of kids that were out, and just build off of those numbers and try, like I said, try to get out to the junior high, try to get out to the youth levels and you know, get those kids excited about football.
And I was going to say, too, I think it's paramount that, and I've always said it, I think the head football coach, is my argument, whether it's right or wrong, I think needs to be in the building. I feel good about that. I mean, where you're around the kids every day, and it's easy to I mean, you're at a better advantage if you're the head football coach in the building and you're in the hallways every day, and maybe you can get some kids that haven't played for a year or haven't played ever and say, hey, maybe you'd like this football thing. Do you think there are some opportunities?
I do. I teach the wood shop, so I'm in the vocational building, not really attached, which sometimes is a good thing. I can kind of be secluded out there from the rest of the world. But you know, I've been working on recruiting some of the kids that I've got there. And the worst thing I guess I tell them is, you know, if you come out for our summer stuff under no obligation, come to the workouts, come to the on-field things that we do, come to our camp. And by the time that practice starts, if you feel like that's something that really doesn't interest you, then you're not out anything, you know, so, or give us a try. And if you don't like it the year that you're there, or, you know, then you don't have to come back. But I don't want you to miss out on an opportunity to be a part of something great that we have, you know, without trying it first.
Well, I was just going to say, too, like my dad had mentioned earlier, like, I know when you take over, it's, you're looking forward, not in the rearview mirror, but just kind of, you know, moving on from last season. The way it ended obviously wasn't, you know, great for anybody in any way, really. So when you look ahead to the 2025 season, do you feel like there's anything really, like, you need to address about last year, or is it just kind of looking ahead, moving forward, and moving on?
You know, I think most of that stuff was addressed as we kind of wrapped up the season there. Jason Kenny did a great job of stepping in and filling that role the last couple weeks of the season and taking on, you know, he took on a lot of the administrative stuff so that the rest of the coaches could coach. And, you know, he managed the equipment, managed the postseason awards and the postseason awards night. And I think that we pretty much have moved on from whatever it was that you know, was hanging around at the end of the season. And, you know, looking for a fresh start so these guys can get going.
And you looked at 2025, so you had your first kind of sample size of the schedule. And the schedule is going to be the exact same next year, with the exception of, you know, the games that were at home this year on the road next year and vice versa. What have you noticed about, I guess, the talent level in that league? And, you know, the question is, got to win five games or maybe six to get into the playoffs. What do you see as those steps that need to be taken to get to that level, I guess?
Yeah, well, there's definitely no freebies week in, week out. You know, even like our last week, we played Mendota, who had struggled last year, but they had some dudes and they put together some drives, and they're a school of 500 kids. So there's potential there. So week in, week out, you know, there's no freebies. And we go from basically playing in a 1A, 2A conference to a 2A, 3A conference. Therefore, the level of competition is going to pick up from week to week. So, you know, the best thing that we can do is just give our guys simple schemes that can be taught and they can execute and play at full speed and play with confidence, and then that will help us in game night situations.
Yeah, and I was going to ask, you know, getting back to being in the building, and you've experienced your whole career with geography within districts, right? And there can be a disconnect sometime if you're dealing with this massive geographical district, right, to make sure everybody feels they're connected, whether that be at United with the three school districts that are part of that district. You dealt with it at, you know, Roseville, Yorkwood, Westmoor, where, like I said, you know, I think athletics and events can bring some of that together. I mean, do you have to make a concerted effort to make sure that, because like when I go to, and I'm getting off the beaten track here, but when I go to school board meetings, I cover that beat. And sometimes there's still this pull between Westmoor, Aledo, And you have to get back on track and say, no, it's Mercer County. And I think the kids are, you know that. It's maybe the people outside of, you know, the non-students, so to speak. The
old-timers, whatever. I think the kids understand that we are the Mercer County Golden Eagles football team. And, you know, I've lived in town for only 8 years, and this is my fourth year teaching in the school. So to me, the kids that all come in and out of the door, they're just Mercer County kids. I don't know any different. You know, the school district has been in existence for 15, 16 mm-hmm. years now. So to me personally, that's a non-factor. I mean, I'm here to coach the kids that are in our school, which is Mercer County High School. They come from all across the county, and we're going to do the best that we can to get them ready to play on Friday nights.
And then you were hired a week ago Wednesday, right? Is that right? Yeah, a week ago Wednesday, this past Wednesday. Yeah. So assembling staff, what's involved there? Anybody, you know, can you talk about that yet, or is that still to be determined?
I'm still working on the staff a little bit, and then I will have a list of people to be on staff. They will be approved at the February board meeting, whenever that is. Is it the third Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the staff will be assembled, and it'll come out officially on that day.
So when you kind of look at how you think you'll look on the field, I know it's a ways away, you know, what, 6 or so months from August and week one at the end of the month in a few months. So looking at, like, stylistically, what do you expect kind of your team to look like on the field as you take over the program with your kind of fingerprints on it?
Well, you know, like I said, I've been a power football guy my whole career, for the most part. It's the philosophy that I believe in. It's what I've played in. It's what I've coached most of my career in. And, you know, again, I talk about giving kids simple schemes that they can execute with confidence and at the best of their abilities and at full speed. And the more that we can do that, the better we're going to be on Friday night. And the same thing with defensive philosophies. You know, it all – you can drop all the X's and O's you want, but it comes down to the players making plays on the field, and you got to put them in the best positions to make those plays. You know, and same thing defensively. It comes down to blocking, and it comes down to tackling. And when you go back and watch, you know, and I've watched a lot of film the last couple of weeks or the last month, and you know, it comes down to where would you be if you would have made that tackle, or we were just one block away from springing a big play. And if with the more often that we can execute, the objective is to move the ball into the other team's side of the field through the goal as best you can by moving their players out of the way, you know, or stopping them from tackling the guy with the ball. And the more that we can do that, the better we're going
to
be.
And then just, like, off-season wise, as you look ahead, getting ready to get into the summer and then into the season, just kind of walk us through what you think it'll look like as you start to kind of implement your stuff, getting ready for, you know, summer and then into the fall season.
As far as the off-season goes, you know, I just want our guys to go out and be athletes this spring. You know, go out for baseball, go out for track, and then when the first week of June rolls around, you know, we'll start our summer workouts just like we do every summer. And again, we'll prepare a couple days a week. I think the first week, tentatively, I have set, you know, we've just got summer workouts and we don't have any football stuff that first week. Just kind of get them back in the groove of the summer workouts, get their feet wet a little bit. And then just, you know, put in a couple things a day, a couple days a week throughout the summer, you know, a camp week, you know, a full week of camp there that next to last week of July, a couple of 7-on-7s that we usually participate in. Just give them enough football to get them interested and keep them interested this summer so that when the season starts, they're still chomping at the bit, ready to go.
And then just, you know, being around Friday nights, I mean, that's still a big – when I look at you saying, I want this job, I mean, Friday nights still matter to Fred Lucas, apparently, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, and especially here, you know, this the history of this program, you know, I'm very – humbled and fortunate and at the same time excited to be able to lead the team out there on Friday night with the staff that we're putting together. You know, the atmosphere of the guys coming down the hill, you know, to the beat of the drum, you know, that's exciting no matter who you are.
And then and you may have said this already, but you've already met with the kids like day after you were hired and had those conversations that you're the new head coach. I mean, what was some of the back and forth, I guess, with that?
Yeah, I mean, I had a few kids in class, man. It was like every couple of days, it was like, hey, what did they find out? Have they decided on a coach yet? You know, I got to keep putting them off for a while. But no, it's been very well received. Like I said, I met with them as a group. You know, I've talked to a handful of them individually, just on a few things as we pass. And you know, one of my plans is to you know, meet with them individually, either through like a FaceTime or Google Meet or something, you know, at home with their parents, and you know, just talk about what I view our vision of the football program, what their expectations are, you know, individually moving forward, and maybe like what their role would be on the team.
And that's a good point you make there, that I think you need, you know, leading a program, you need like buy-in from the kids, obviously, but I think like from families is so important too, when you talk about just, you know, maintaining like a positive outlook and a positive impression with, you know, community and families and kids. So speaking about that, I mean, with your experience, how important is it just to have, you know, buy-in, not just from like the kids, but from the families too?
Yeah, really, I don't ask for much from the families other than just unconditional support for everything we say and do.
Right.
Jokingly, but you know, there's nobody in our program who wants more for these kids than I do, and then that our staff does. You know, we got their best interest at heart. You know, we want our football program and our football practice to be a place where they want to be. You know, where football is the best part of their day. And you know, if we can generate that excitement with them, then that's going to trickle on, you know, into home, and you know, the things that we do on the football field or the practice field are secondary to what we want young men to become later on in life. You know, we want them to be somebody that people can depend on. You know, if you're going to be at a certain place at a certain time, that's where you're supposed to be. You know, we want to provide leadership through servitude. And the best thing that we can do is help serve these kids to become the best football players that they can be. And in turn, they're going to be the best young men that they can be later in life.
Yeah, and I was just going to say is, you know, you as a coach, I know you always have to look ahead of what's next. So, I mean, is it like, well, we're getting ready for Monmouth-Roseville in week one of 2025? I mean, when you look back at kind of the – when you assess 2024 and just look, if you're, you know, assessing game by game, you say, well, what was the difference when we played Monmouth-Roseville? What was the difference when we played Girard? I can't remember. Who's week three?
Orion.
What's the difference when we play Orion? I mean, from a coaching standpoint, is it always like that where, hey, we're looking at personnel they have, style of play. How do we match that? How do we gain the advantage, I guess?
A little bit. I think what we try to do is – look at it as a broad picture first. You know, where can we, in general, what are some things that we did well that we can build upon? In general, what are some things that we didn't do so well to improve upon going forward? Then we'll kind of look at each game, you know, week to week. But it's the old coach's cliche. You know, we got to take it one game at a time. The challenge with that is preparing for that first game is, you know, knowing that Monmouth-Roseville, and I'm sure Jeremy's listening, so
yeah, we're gonna he is.
Knowing that Monmouth-Roseville had a very outstanding power run game last year, that we've got to make sure that we're prepared for that. But we follow up with Sherrard and Orion week two and three, who spread the ball around and whiz it around the field pretty well, so that we can't just wait until week two to start preparing for that. So we make sure we try to balance what we do throughout the summer and then emphasize the specifics from each team week to week.
And then I think too, coming in and being, you know, in this area for, you know, basically since you've been coaching, you've kind of been in the Western Illinois area. So like style of play, history, legacy, you know, that's the other thing, you know, I think you have an advantage coming in that you've been here that long and you just gave a synopsis of basically the first three opponents we're playing. It's nice that you're not coming in blind where you have what do they say, the first person account of that. I think that's pretty important.
Right. And that, you know, that's one of the challenges that we had as a football staff and football program the last 2 years is that, you know, the last 2 years we played 19 games against 19 different opponents. You know, so there was no.
That's interesting to think about.
Counting the Wilmington game in the playoffs 2 years ago, so there was no, you know, hey, how did we handle this last year thing? So
it's interesting too. Then with you know the era you've coached in, so you started in the early '90s. From a scouting standpoint, how it's all basically, I mean, right, film now, basically where everybody has access to everything. How have you noticed that's really change from days? And I know some staff still do it where they go physically and maybe scout. I remember when Coach McCarty was here, you know, we'd have Dennis Melgren and whoever, Dennis Rumbum, they'd go actually scout formations at games because I went with them a couple of times where now you really don't have to do that. But then, you know, film can be deceiving too. And I'm sure you've seen that a couple of times where people have said, well, man, they don't look that maybe impressive or whatever on film, but then you see them in person and you're like, holy smokes, I didn't expect that. I mean, how has that transitioned over the years? Because you've been doing it basically where you've really seen the change probably.
Yeah, and I think the with the increase of the film use, you know, you basically have access to a couple of games or more depending on how the schedule works out. That and it's not just the it's not just the access to the video, but the program that we use allows you to enter information and break everything down. And, you know, I remember there were nights, even as a coach for Roseville Yorkwood, sitting down there with the VHS tape, rewinding and then telling my wife, you know, write down these words, you know, for this play, and then putting it all together on a notepad and then trying to break it down. Whereas you type in some plays and formations and a couple more clicks and it breaks down a report for you. But there are also some things that you can get a better feel by being at the game that sometimes that the video doesn't, you know, the video doesn't pick up a huge change in momentum after a certain play, or it's all the plays are paused in between. So maybe a team, you might have to do some background information to find out if a team runs no huddle or not, because everything's paused in between. So you're really not sure what goes on, but I'd still take it over the days of, you know, there's a lot of guys that volunteered a lot of time for a lot of coaches over the years going out. And I've done it even when I was an assistant with Tim Lafferty at Northwestern La Harpe. You know, if we had a game that we were expected to win pretty handily, I might go scout the next game to, you know, get a better idea what's going to happen.
Well, you brought something up interesting a few minutes ago that I think I wanted to ask you more about. So you talked about how, you know, this coming 2025 season for Mercer County will be the first time in, you know, 3 years basically where it's, you know, repeat opponents from the year before. So just speaking about preparing for that, I mean, I don't necessarily want to use the word easier, but as opposed to a completely new opponent you haven't played, you know, in 20 or whatever years like it was this year, to now you have something to go back on from the previous year where you're, you know, more familiar with the personnel and kind of the systems the opponents run on both sides of the ball. Do you think that'll make it a little maybe easier getting ready for games week in and week out?
I think, yeah, I agree with you. I don't know if easier is the word. Familiar maybe is maybe the word I'd use. Yeah, now, with the schedule being flipped, there's also a difference in atmosphere. So we've played all the schools, you know, but we haven't played at Newman and we haven't played at Sherrard. So there's some things about going to those places that are going to be a little bit different. But in terms of actually preparing for the X's and O's, and a lot of it comes down to personnel. You know, you can go back and check last year's rosters and find out who they're going to have at this spot and what kind of player they are, and check maybe, you know, the all-conference team from the year before. So some of those things will definitely be a benefit second go-around through this Three Rivers Conference.
Well, and then I think, too, about a change in head coaching. You talk about power game. You know, that means there's probably some opportunities, right, that, you know, there's going to be maybe some potential position switches or there's some personnel decisions you'll have to make if you go to a power game. So that's kind of a fresh start maybe, too, for some of the kids.
Yeah, definitely. You know, looking at trying to put kids in the best position to be successful given their skill set, you know, whether it be, you know, if their speed, whether their power, whatever it is, you know, And I think the change is going to be good for the kids because now they're like, well, I don't know, you know, where I fit in. So I'm going to have to find a spot and do the best I can to make sure that I can get on the field.
All right. Well, it'll be here. What is week one? What night is it? August? Is it an August start?
I think so, yeah.
August, whatever, on a Friday night. Well, you'll be pumped about that, man.
Yeah, and it'll be great to we'll open up at home this year too, so be good to get.
Yeah, and you brought up something important too. He brought up buy-in, and you told the story of your wife. I mean, it takes. I'm assuming too, you know, before you say, "Hey, honey, I want to be head coach of the Golden Eagle football program," you need support at home too. And I'm assuming you're getting that.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Go for it, man.
Definitely. You know, and we're at the point where our kids are grown, you know, and our youngest Matthew is in his second year at Monmouth College, and you know, yeah.
Now, what did he? Because he player in the program. What did he think of Dad becoming head coach?
Oh, he's pretty excited about it too. Yeah, yeah. He wants to do some coaching himself also, you know, but, you know, being involved in the football program there at Monmouth has been a good experience for him too. But yeah, he was pretty excited. But, you know, we've been married for, it'll be 30 years this summer, and I've been coaching for 33. So she's known well in advance the journey that it is. And our wedding anniversary is July 29th. And I picked that date because that was the open dead period. Yeah, it was. It was the last Saturday that was available that we could get married and then go on a week's honeymoon and then get back in time for football practice to start.
Now you went to where'd you go? Did you go to Monmouth College or where'd you go?
I went to Western Illinois.
Okay, go Leathernecks,
man.
That's
right.
So you were you at Western during the summer? The St. Louis Rams summer training camp?
No, well, I mean, I was there till 97. Okay. I don't know where they were there after that.
Yeah, I think early 2000s. Okay. So. All right, well, anything else, Ty Taylor?
No, I'm ready for Golden Eagle football.
Yeah, me too, Coach Lucas. Me too, ready for – because next year the week one's a home opener, right?
Against Monmouth Roseville.
Yeah, all right. That'll be good, exciting times. All right, Coach, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
good luck,
Coach,
to you here in the offseason.
Yep, thanks, guys, for having me.
All right, more coming up. We're at the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios. We'll talk some high school hoops out of the break. WMJ, WMJ.com.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29 by the buy here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Alito, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Step into style and comfort at 6140 Run in Galesburg. If you need new footwear, 6140 Run has just the right fit. Check out their quality brands for fitness, Hoka, Saucony, and Brooks, for just hanging out, Hey Dude and Birkenstock, and even for work, Red Wing and Wolverine. Whether you're hitting the trails, taking a stroll, or just kicking back, 6140 Run has you covered. Stop by their location at 185 Main Street in Galesburg and find your perfect pair today.
It's the WMJ Sports Line on a Saturday morning from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios. We have high school basketball coming up, I think, in the 2 o'clock hour.
Correct.
With the Girard Tigers, who want to win by 40
yeah.
today because they're mad. You know, that's what I love about the beauty and agony of interscholastic athletics. So can we talk about the difference a week makes? Right. But that, what was I trying to tell you all last week? What was I trying to all tell you last week? We know the wild card. Well, we saw it last night. The two significant wild cards in this area, in this conference, are Riverdale and Orion. And I don't think we really say they're wild cards, but we know they're capable of...
Well, yeah, they're both going to win 20 games. Yeah, so, and, I mean, it's not like they're... Yeah, yeah,
and they're the capable of beating the elite teams because right. Riverdale had the win over Rockford Christian, was it? Mm-hmm. Right? And then last night, that was a back...
A guy, though.
Yeah, back and forth game last night. But Orion last night, what a wild game that was. Huge. You said maybe more people at the Orion-Sherrard game than the Orion-Rock or Sherrard-Rockridge game, maybe?
I said... Orion had a bigger visiting crowd than Rockridge did when they came to Sherrard earlier in the year. I don't think there was a bigger crowd overall, but there were more people in the visiting bleachers, yeah.
But kind of credit Orion last night where they got up big and then it was kind of scramble at the end and they held. Because I thought when Cart hit that three to pull within two on that four-point play, I thought, well, Sherrard's coming back and going to win this game. But credit the Orion Chargers down the stretch to close out that game. And they're capable, you know it now, especially after last night, they're capable of winning a regional championship game. And I would not want to be having to play them, I tell you again, because you saw what they're capable of doing. And then getting a win at this juncture of the season, what was the difference last night?
Well, early in the game, I don't think Sherrard even really played that bad. I thought Orion was great last night, really from start to finish. So Ryland Carton got three fouls in the first quarter. So, I mean, he played maybe 4 minutes or so in the first half, and Orion was up by 8 at halftime. And it's interesting, they have winning by 2. Well, how the first half ended, Sherrard gets fouled in the bonus in the backcourt. They miss both free throws. Orion comes down the floor and hits a shot from the volleyball line, a 3, at the end of the first half, and they end up winning by 2 points. And they got up by as many as 13 in the third. 34-21 was the spread.
How much time was left in the third?
I don't remember, but Sherrard cut it to 7 at the end of the quarter, 45-38 heading to the fourth. And then the Tigers, they scored like, I think, 8 points in like 90 seconds to go on an 8-0 run and take a 46-45 lead early in the fourth. And at that point, I thought, well, this game's over. Sherrard's going to win by 10 or 15. But Orion got back-to-back baskets from, I think, Kyler Owens, and then they led the rest of the way. Sherrard got it within 2 late, but turned it over on their last possession. I was just impressed by Orion's poise, you know, on the road. Like, Sherrard hadn't lost at home all season, and when you watch a 13-point lead wilt away and now you're trailing in the fourth, it takes a lot, I think, to dig down and be able to rally yourself and pull it out. So, a really nice win for Orion last night, and I know we've talked a lot about, you know, what postseason seeding looks like, and in the local subsectional, the top 4 seeds are pretty, you know, clear who they're going to be. The order still, I think, is a little murky maybe, but it's going to be Sherrard, Rockridge, Macomb, and Orion in some order. And I think a win like that last night for Orion, I don't think they're going to overtake like 1 or 2, which are Sherrard and Rockridge, but I think there's an argument to be made that maybe they should be seeded higher than Macomb, especially now if they're in a couple of weeks able to beat Rock Ridge. You know what I mean? I don't know if that game takes place before or after the seeding, but Orion's going to have 20-plus wins, and Macomb is really good too, but I think like Orion, the conference Orion plays in is way better than the conference Macomb plays in, and I don't think Macomb has as good of a win at Sherrard. I mean, that's a huge win. Number 6 man. In the state.
Yeah. And I was just thinking about, regardless of how they divide up those top 4 seeds, I'm just going to tell you, those are going to be 2 excellent regional championship games if the top 4 seeds can get through. Because and
they
then,
should. They're all be really heavy favorites, I think.
But didn't you say Canton, who's in that subsectional, just beat East Peoria,
right, by 2.
Who beat Rock Ridge by 15. Yeah. Now, we can play comparative scores on the radio, but I'm saying they could also factor into that.
And they'll be at Macomb.
Yeah, if you get that type of win. But I was thinking about, you know, Orion and why they're such a tough out, and just watching the games for so many years. If you have a kid in small school basketball especially that can handle the ball at an elite level, but also can score, you are in a good situation, especially in those games where they're on the line in the fourth quarter. And that I know watching that Owens kid like just play at the younger level, I'm like, man, that dude can handle the ball like that and score. That's a tough out, especially when you're trailing. And that's why I credit Sherrard when they come back, when they're down 13. And even, I mean, when you're down 7 at the end of 3, that's a pretty sizable deficit if you're playing a good team that has the talent Orion does. So, you know, I, like I said, when Sherrard, I think it was like, what, 50-some-odd seconds when they got the four-point play within 2, I thought, well, they're going to have a crack to win it.
Well, they did.
And a costly turnover at the very end. But, again, you just look at kind of what lies ahead still with so many key games. We're in early February here, and there's some still very important games left in this league, even after the Tigers have swept the Rockets and won 2 games. That's what's so crazy about this league. I mean, now.
Yeah, because Sherrard, they have a 1-game lead now over both Orion and Rockridge. Now, they play each other coming up in a couple weeks, so one of them will lose another game. But, like, you know, talking about the conference race, Sherrard's lost to play at Riverdale, who, you know, gave them a great game at Sherrard. Sherrard able to pull out 57-55. So, yeah, that was such a good win for Orion. And they're a solid team. They probably got 7 dudes that are solid players. Oh, yeah. And like, Owens gets a lot of headlines because he's really good. He makes tough shots. I mean, he makes tough shots. He's a great player. I really think Maddox Arnold's a great guard for them, too. And, like, the Bainbridge kid had a great night last night as well. Just and like Duncan Adamson gives them really good minutes, too.
They have a bunch of good athletes.
Their top 7 are solid players. They've really kind of routed in form. It just is so weird. And we were talking about this morning before we came on the air here. It just is so strange their schedule this year. And I know you can't take a lot of stock from games that are Thanksgiving week. Yeah. But Orion, they have a loss to Ridgewood and a win over Sherrard. They also then granted they came back and played Ridgewood a week later and beat them by like 50. So, but still, I mean, that is just, that's crazy though. It's weird just the way that things can go up and down. But Orion, they're good and they're starting to really click. I mean, they've scored, coming into last night, they had scored 70 plus in 5 of their last 6 games and scored 56 against a Sherrard team that plays really good defense. And it's just a great night, great atmosphere. And I talked about this with Coach Anderson post game last night on the air. It just feels like in the track this year, like every Friday night, it feels like you're playing for a regional championship. With just the crowds that I've seen have been awesome every night in the league. So it's been a fun year, and there's, I think, 4 really, really good teams in the conference this year.
Well, yeah, and that had to be a
like wild... 4 elite teams, I think. Yeah,
and that had to be a wild night last night up in Port Byron with that game that went back and forth, and Riverdale trailed by double digits in the third. Took, I think they were leading 42-40 with like 4 minutes left to
go.
Rockridge
is up 40-28, and Riverdale scored 14 in a row to go up 42-40, and then Rockridge was able to close it out 52-44. So it was a 12-4 run to close the game for the Rockets to pull out a win on the road. So that was a big win for them, I think. And now they play in Peoria today against Danville at the, I think, Manual.
The alma mater of Gene Hackman, right. A.K.A.
So that's
Norman
nice
Dale.
Nice win for Rockridge last night, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the other thing about Rockridge. When you talk about their schedule, I'm like, every week, it's like I'm thinking to myself, who haven't they played?
Yeah, I know. It's
crazy.
I mean,
they're all over the place. That's why they're the program they are.
When you look at their schedule this year, it is unbelievable. I mean, they have not played one bad team the whole season, I don't think. I mean, like, it's unbelievable the strength of schedule they've played. I mean, it's every week they play 2 or 3 really good teams. It's just, it's I've never seen, and they've done that for years and years, but it's never been anything like this. Where, like, you know, some years they would play, like, you know, A-Town and some of those, like, kind of local, like, 1 or 2 of the Lincoln Trail schools who you know, normally aren't very good. But, like, this year it's everybody they play is just like, oh, my God.
And then getting back to Sherrard, their game with Bureau Valley. Now, Bureau Valley, I'm interested to see kind of the margin of that game because Bureau Valley's leading the LTC,
they're
right?
8-0
yeah.
in the league.
So
yeah.
This is
– they just beat Princeville by 11 last
night.
Well,
and this is a big game for them today, too.
Right.
Now, because are they 1A now or are they 2A?
I think they're 2A.
They're still 2A.
I don't know that for a fact, though. But
so – yeah, I guess I would like to see where their subsectional is and how they get seeded with their record and the schedule they've played. But I'm, you know, especially coming out off of last night's game, I'm curious to see how Sherrard responds from that lost last night and playing like a mid-afternoon game, so it'll be interesting there. And then Rockridge has Danville, which they're, I think they're 3A, right? They're a 3A team. And then the and then before we go on, look to next week. But nice win for Coach Seedam and Coach Broad and the Eagles last night.
On
we
the
needed
board.
That last
get
night.
On the
win
board.
It at the shoebox.
Get on the board in the track.
Yeah,
first conference nice win. That's a big deal, man. Like, there are no easy wins in the track in any sport.
Well, you just heard Coach Lucas say that. That's true.
You know, one win in the track is worth a lot, I think. And to win on the road, that's a nice win. It's not easy any night, no matter who you play in this league. So, nice win for Mercer County. Low-scoring game, 37-34. They avenge a loss from earlier in the conference season. So, yeah, that's nice. I mean, to get a win on the road is not easy in this league for sure. So, congrats to them. Win number one in the track. All
right. Who led them in scoring last night?
I never saw a box score.
What, did you see the box score, Riverdale Rockridge, or not?
No.
Yeah, I just – that was such a crazy game
last
night.
Mercer County, they play Brimfield on Tuesday, I think, and they're like over 500, but again, the league they play in.
Please don't tell me Coach Seedam and Coach Brott have to drive to Brimfield.
No, it's
again.
In
a, okay,
it's in Alito. They but
man,
like,
they've had some road trips.
That's the
year.
Thing. Like, I watch, you know, like some non-conference games. Like when Mercer County played Farmington this week, it just the track is, especially the west side of it, is just so much better than all the other small school leagues around here. Like when you watch like one of the track schools play a non-conference game, a lot of the times it's like, boy, oh boy, this team is just way better than the team that they're playing. So I think Mercer County will win again Tuesday to get to three in a row, and then they play Camp Point Central later, who they should beat too. I think they have a game with United, who Mercer County's better than. So they got some wins coming up. They still have to play Riverdale, Rockridge, and Sherrard, which will be – or excuse me, Riverdale, Rockridge, and I forget who their last conference game is against. But
is the Camp Point Central game here or down there?
It's here.
Okay. I was going to say, man, they'd have to travel.
And Sherrard, they do play Sherrard again. So those are their three conference games, of which those will be tough to win. But you have, like, the non-conference games, I think they should be able to win those ones.
Yeah, and then the seeding, is that the second week of February for the seeding?
So the girls is this coming Thursday. The boys would be the following Thursday, which is the 13th.
So, and then speaking of the track, I'm curious, did you get a chance to ask Doug Swanson? I was so curious, that margin of victory is so crazy to me, not necessarily that Riverdale won, but just the
margin. You're talking about Riverdale girls basketball. Yeah. They beat Sherrard
46-20. I just couldn't believe that.
I saw him last night. He said it was just one of those nights where it was just like nothing went right and just everything just fell apart. Yeah. So, but again,
I was like, six kids had to be missing, but you said no. It was just one of those nights.
Yeah. They're still in the driver's seat, though, to win the conference. And, you know, they're 17-4 and whatever. So I not time to push the panic button. No. They've only won 10 regionals in the last 13 full seasons. So, no, I mean, it's they had a bad night, but if there's any program around here that you don't need to overreact with, it would be Sherrard girls basketball. They'll figure it out.
Yeah, same with Rockridge boys basketball they've lost a game by one. But do you know anything about Danville's pedigree at all?
I know nothing about them.
Yeah, it's interesting that they haven't. And it's nice when you get those opportunities where you play, you know, brand new opponents. And then so they get one there. And then the Riverton shootout, is that next weekend or is that 2 weekends away?
It's February 15th.
And again,
the same day as our Bid for Bargains, which means I thank the Riverton shootout because that means I won't have to be here for Bid for Bargains. And I'm so happy about that.
No.
I can't even tell you how happy I am about that.
So, and again, the opponent they're playing at Riverton
is Warrensburg Latham.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. All right. And they're like, they have only four losses. So that shootout is, if you look at like Nesto's rankings, I think every team there is like within the top 25 of either 1A or 2A. It's like going to be, it's like six or seven games of just great teams playing.
Nesto will be in basketball heaven,
Benton,
man.
Yeah, he said he's going to be there. Benton and Williamsville, I think, is the game at the very end of the night, which will be a really high-level 2A game. Two teams that were at state last year.
Yeah, and I think, so I was in Springfield earlier this week, and I'm so hoping that one of our local teams can get to that venue for Super Sectional, because it's a great setting. It's a true arena format. And I would say, I'd have to see what the official seating capacity is, but it's a much smaller arena. And I think it's a kind of a perfect environment for small school basketball. And it's just a good setup because in the backdrop, you know, the state capital's there. So I just think it's kind of a cool setting to go down there and have an opportunity to play on a Monday, and then hopefully you win and you get in your car and you drive over to Champaign on Thursday for the state tournament game.
I am also excited looking forward. Now, this coming Friday, Mercer County plays Rock Ridge again. And
you know, that's Hall of Fame night.
Mercer County finally has kind of its full group of guys playing. And I think hopefully if they can win Tuesday, they'll come into that game having won three in a row. So I'm going to be interested to see if that's the case, how they...
There'll be a big crowd.
How they stack up with them, and if they've, you know, closed the gap at all. I know Rock Ridge is very, very good, and I'm not saying that I think Mercer County is going to, like, beat them. But I'm just interested in seeing kind of what the spread of that game will be if Mercer County is able to come in having won three in a row, see if they can, you know, make it a little bit more competitive with Rock Ridge.
Can I give somebody, like, from Rock Ridge a sincere shout-out here?
Yeah, who?
So it was when did Rock Ridge girls play Mercer? What night was it?
Thursday.
So this guy comes to every game. I don't care what the sport is. He's always there.
Yeah.
Keith Bogner. I mean, that guy's at every Rock Ridge game, home and road, whether it's boys or girls. Man, those type of people are awesome.
Right.
And I went over to him and I said, man, awesome. You're here tonight. And he goes, well, it's Mercer County Rock Ridge. Why wouldn't I be here?
Amen.
So I love the fact that guys like that always invest in kids, win or lose. I mean, of course, he goes to the 31 and two Rock Ridge boys basketball games, but he's at just as many of the girls basketball games who haven't had nearly the success. So I love those type of people. He like when he cuts himself shaving, right? What does he bleed? He bleeds maroon. There ain't no question about that. He's always there. And a weird like Thursday night game, he's there watching the game. So I had a nice talk with him, and he always has very astute observations about interscholastic athletics. We talked about 10 minutes about the Rock Ridge Sherrard
everybody wanted to talk about that.
But then talked about softball season, talked a little bit about football season. And anyway, I just think it's awesome to have those type of conversations. And by the way, I want to say this too. Randy Hollerud is a great official. He is. And he was there that night, and he got there a bit late because he said, hey, I had to get here late because he was closing some real estate transaction, which I thought was interesting. But he was working with Braden Peters, and I can't remember the third official, so I wanted to
Andrew Cooper
recognize
those
officials.
Job.
Yeah, excellent. And then we talked about it last week with the crew that did the game, the Rock Ridge Sherrard game last Friday night. I thought was just an outstanding crew. You don't see a lot of different guys officiating. It's like the same group of about 10 people you see all season. There just doesn't seem to be as many officials still, even though we continue to say we need more and more and more. But sometimes we realize why there aren't more officials, because some of the behavior you see at some of the games, specifically at the lower levels. But I digress.
Mercer County girls are playing well.
Yeah, nice.
Shadea Williams, she's the GOAT, man.
Yeah, they you know, Coach Hoffman has done a nice job, first-year head coach, and they've battled. And you know, that would have been a nice win last Saturday against United, who's 22-3. By the way, the United girls coach, what a really nice
dude
that
is.
Chris Olson, is that right? Yeah, really nice guy to interact.
Awesome they're having such a successful year.
Yeah, and then, too, you know, the numbers aren't there. But, you know, just watching at the game Thursday night, I love Ryan McDonald and Coach Strahan and Coach Danner. I love watching Coach Strahan coach at the JV level, you know, because it's all about teaching at that level. And I just think, you know, I wanted to recognize him too. And, you know, sometimes maybe you don't have as much success in terms of wins and losses, but you're still out there. Like, we've talked about it before. How do you coach even when you're not having success with wins and losses or talent level or whatever? Do you coach just as hard? And I think, you know, like I said, Coach Strahan and Coach McDonald, they coach their kids,
I think Ryan McDonald, I mean, he does a great job, because we know, I mean, what, 3 or 4 years ago, they were really good, got to a sectional in girls basketball, and then they kind of had the numbers really fall off in the girls basketball program over there. But he has done such a terrific job, I think, with the hand he's been dealt. I mean, you look at that team that they have this year, and one of their you know, top players. I think tore ACL in the second game of the season. So, you know, that's a senior kid who would probably play 27, 28 minutes per game all year, that you get her for six quarters and then she's done. So with that, and with just the low numbers they have, and kind of, you know, there is a little bit, I feel like, of a lack of interest in girls basketball and volleyball for whatever reason at Rock Ridge. But that team has still won 10 games, and they're probably going to win at least three or four more in the regular season and maybe a postseason.
Well, in the one game you did, right? Weren't they?
They were leading Sherrard in the fourth quarter, or late in the third. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, he's done a tremendous job, and I just think he deserves a lot of credit and respect for sticking it out, because, you know, his daughter graduated and plays volleyball up at the University of Wisconsin-Platteville, and he didn't leave. He stuck around with the program and has coached them through, you know, three seasons now where there hasn't been, you know, the numbers are really great talent or great seasons they've had, but he still coaches hard and he gets a lot out of that team. Like I said, they've won 10 games with, you know, kind of a, you know, thrown together, pieced together team with the injuries and everything and the low numbers. So I give a lot of credit to him.
Hey, and you, and I want you to share this, and you don't have to mention the school, the athlete, or the name that this came from, but it involves...
I probably won't even remember what this is.
Yes, you will, because you just told the story yesterday. We're talking about recruiting, and there's a kid in the area, the greater West Central geographic area, that is being recruited at a high level. And this high school coach was talking about the interaction with the college program that was recruiting this young man. And you said it's like a checklist of what they're looking for in
the conversation with the kids' coaching staff at the high school level.
So explain, if you, I think it's very important. And now people that have children, students that think they're going to play at the next level, these are the conversations the college programs are having with the high school coach where that kid plays at. So I think this is very important. So you people that are that are tuned in right now, you need to listen closely. No, I think I'm glad you brought this up to me, because I think it's important.
I saw it was like the number one thing, like the first thing that was on, you know, the conversation was, what is the kid's family like? Do they cause issues? Are they bought in? Do they support the program, basically, right? I mean, that is, and I think
say that again.
Yeah, well, it's if they're bought in and if their parents support the program and if they cause issues.
Say that again.
I'm not going to say it again. But yeah, and I think you see so many parental issues. I don't know what the reason is, whether it's because there's so much opportunity for kids to play, whether it be, you know, club volleyball or travel softball or travel baseball or AAU basketball or whatever, that people have these crazy, unrealistic expectations or, you know, just delusional, you know, look at how talented their kids are or whatever, where if you start, you know, causing huge issues for, you know, even when it's not even the kids who are doing it, but if it's the parents, you're really, you know, causing issues for potentially your kid's future athletically. So that's just, I think, is a interesting to see that.
Yeah. And so I'm glad you shared that with me, and I'm glad you shared that on the airwaves, because
there are some nightmare parents. Holy smokes. Yeah, oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord.
But I still say it's the exception and not the rule.
Oh, no, absolutely.
You know, but the exceptions always ruin it for everybody, as they say.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
So we have the game today. What's the schedule look like next week?
I don't know off the top of my head. Mercer County Brimfield Boys Tuesday. Friday is Mercer County Rock Ridge Boys.
And that's Hall of Fame night. So that's, Barb Childs, Victor Johnson, Brad Hoffman being inducted. And then I think you're emceeing that night, so I'm going
to
broadcast
again.
They
asked me to. I don't know if that still is something I don't know. That was, they asked me, kind of asked me like a few, like a month or so ago.
You wouldn't want to do this, would you?
No, I will do it. I'm assuming I'm doing it still, but if not, it's not a big deal either. I one way or the other.
What did you say? We have a Tuesday night game next week?
Yeah, Mercer County Brimfield.
And then any other games leading up to
that? I already
said
I don't know off the top of my head.
And then what's our next Illini basketball broadcast? What do you think of
tomorrow?
What do you think of the like back and forth of the Big Ten?
It's a good league, and I think that they're really missing
Thomas Love.
Yeah, Ivicic, because man, they just get destroyed inside without him. Like that game against Maryland, I've never seen anything like that. 60-some-odd freaking points in the paint.
Yeah, and then you brought up a good point, too, and I gotta look at it. How does the Big Ten tournament with 18 teams?
Yeah, I
that's
going to
be longer than the LTC tournament from back in the day.
Oh, no, it won't be, because it probably won't take 2 weeks to play four games. But I don't know how they're going to do that with an 18-team conference tournament. I'd be interested to see how they do it. Here's my advice to the Big Ten. Don't do it how the Lincoln Trail Conference does it. Look at that and do anything else.
So, and then the other thing I was just going to say collegiately, I'm interested to kind of see tomorrow with Caitlin Clark coming back to Iowa City for her jersey or the raising her jersey to the rafters. They play USC, who arguably has the best player in the country now with Juju Watkins. I think that'll be a neat scene tomorrow. And, you know, again, the attention she continues to get.
USC will beat them by 40.
I don't know. I think they're the favorite. There's no question about it. But I don't know with Caitlin Clark being there what that'll mean.
I annoy my sisters because they love Iowa women's basketball, and I just tell them it's back to irrelevancy.
I think, well, they love back yeah, they love Iowa women's basketball because of the
well,
kids
right, so does
number 22.
Else.
That's, yeah. That's right. But I was telling you, I was just so shocked about how the demand and the price for their tickets have still been pretty high. Now, the one game that was Bluter came back that I saw in the secondary market, they were pretty high, and I know tomorrow is going to be, you know,
well,
outrageous.
Yeah. But I looked like the one game against Northwestern this week on like whatever, it was like $7.
Well, and then too, the attendance at Iowa men's games, holy smokes, they're not drawing anybody. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with, you know, that program moving forward with the type of year that they've been having. So anyway, I can't think of anything else this morning. Have we covered? Nice to have Coach Lucas on.
Yep. Thanks.
Excited.
Thank you to him.
You know, as we say, and he has the right approach. It's about looking ahead and not looking in the rear view mirror. And, you know, I think it's important that the coach is in the building. And, you know, he's been at it for a while, since like 1992 or 1994, and has a lot of resources to lean on, that's for sure, with the people he's coached with.
And we mentioned earlier, but really want to reiterate, those were nice wins for Orion, Rock Ridge, and Mercer County and boys basketball last night. And we talked about it too, but it just getting a win in that league is tough every night. And everybody did it on the road last night, which is tough as well. And I just can't say enough about how fun that Orion-Sherrard game was last night. It was just a great crowd, and there's potential that game could be a regional championship game, you know, maybe Sherrard and Orion, which would be a lot of fun. If that were to take place, it likely would be in Aledo, which would be a great crowd, you know, if that were to happen. So yeah, I said this on our broadcast last night, I mean, there's gonna be some really fun postseason games in our area when you talk about, like you said, the top four teams in the subsectional. Rock Ridge,
I say top five, I still say Canton, you gotta say
but I mean like Rock Ridge, Macomb, Mercer County, and Rock Ridge, Macomb, Sherrard, and Orion. I mean, if those four teams were to play each other in the two regional championship games, those would be awesome games, I think.
Oh, incredible. And with the followings all four of those schools have, too, will be incredible. And especially, you mentioned, you know, Aledo as a backdrop. There's always something about that gym when it hosts a regional championship
game. And then Macomb would get a play at home, which would add to it, too, for them.
Well, and they have, hey, man, the way they play defense, I'm telling you, they're
a
tough
out.
Oh, yeah,
they defend.
Yeah, and that's what was the difference for them last year.
Well, no, the difference was they made 9 threes and 12 shots. That's why they beat Rock Ridge.
But the way they defend, too, though, they stay in the game. So, and they have a great coach in Jeremy Anderson. So they don't have any are they just playing in conference down the stretch? Do you know if they have any key matchups?
I think they play Rock Falls coming up.
Okay, that'll be an interesting measuring stick for them. So, all right. Anything else? Is that it?
No, what do you got to say? What are you and Brian talking about?
We talk about our good friend Dave Nanengay with the Illinois High School Glory Days and that great website celebrating 20 years on Wednesday, February the 5th.
Where is he from?
He grew up in Mineral, Illinois, which is part of the Annawan School District.
Okay, I thought he was from like the Bureau Valley District.
Retired. Well, he's kind of close, in that area. Yeah. He lives in the Chicagoland area now, but I mean, just kind of a thing that started as a labor of love is growing to epic proportions and one of the nicest guys you'll ever want to meet, that's for sure.
Awesome. So we'll hear from you and Brian about that, and then we'll come back after that and close the show.
All right.
Okay, we're back with more on Sportsline after this.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
You finally have your dream home. Now you need the right insurance to protect it. Because when it comes time to file a claim, you don't want any surprises. Talk to a Country Financial representative to find out if you have the right protection. They can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Home insurance policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Casualty Insurance Company, or Country Preferred Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Step into style and comfort at 6140 Run in Galesburg. If you need new footwear, 6140 Run has just the right fit. Check out their quality brands for fitness, Hoka, Saucony, and Brooks, for just hanging out, Hey Dude and Birkenstock, and even for work, Red Wing and Wolverine. Whether you're hitting the trails, taking a stroll, or just kicking back, 6140 Run has you covered. Stop by their location at 185 Main Street in Galesburg and find your perfect pair today.
This is Jim Taylor at WMJ Radio in Aledo. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. I always like to recognize nice guys that we run across in this business, and one of the best ones is a gentleman by the name of Mr. Dave Nandengay. He's the idea behind the Illinois High School Glory Days website. You can find it at IllinoisHighSchoolGloryDays.com. I know, Brian, you've talked to him numerous times. I've talked to him numerous times. And if you haven't had a chance to see his website, you're missing out, because it memorializes basically 1,200 now defunct or closed high schools in Illinois. And I know Dave Nandengay has been up to your neck of the woods. He's been in all parts of the state, because he will get out, take pictures, try to collect, you know, key pieces of history with some of these old schools. And just a really good guy. So I wanted to recognize him today, because Wednesday, February the 5th, is the 20th anniversary of this site, which launched in 2005. So what about Dave Nandengay?
Well, I tell you what, you talk about keeping the past alive and really doing a great job of, you know, local history. He's the guy. I know you and I saw him last summer down at Mineral. That's kind of his home area down there. And he had kind of a salute to Bureau Valley basketball at that point. But, man, you just mention a school and he'll know the nickname. And I know you and he and I were at an event up here. He spoke, and then I had a coach, a longtime coach, tell me, I stayed up till like 1 or 2 in the morning because I went home and got on his website and I couldn't stop, you know, browsing and looking at the different schools that are now gone.
Yeah, and if you haven't been, and I know a lot of the people that I deal with, they visited the website. But like you said, if you haven't been on the site, again, it's IllinoisHighSchoolGloryDays.com. Normally, you go deep down the rabbit hole, because it's a very user-friendly site where most of the schools are memorial, are most of the school, they're in alphabetical order. But I think the neat thing, too, is within those schools that he has in alphabetical order, you know, he's trying to collect as much information as possible, so it's interactive. So he's looking for stuff, and you know, he'll share like the school fight song, he'll try to share records of whatever team from this old defunct school. I mean, he has really put a lot of work into this thing, and I know it just kind of began, you know, the idea was basically just try it, and to see what it's become is amazing, I think.
Yeah, and I think it kind of gets us in touch, those of us who went to schools that are defunct, kind of with our past, and we kind of say, oh, wow, you know, that's really cool. And we realize, hey, we're not quite alone. You know, there are a lot of different people that went to schools at various times that those schools are gone, but not forgotten, and that's in part thanks to Dave.
And I think the other thing is that we talk about, I mean, a genuine article and just a great guy. I mean, and that's the thing. I hope if you haven't had a chance, I'm telling the listening audience, if you haven't had a chance to interact with him, you're missing out. And he does a lot of events around the state. And if you know he's going to be in your area, I'd say go, because it's worthy of a conversation, because he'll have a conversation with you and you'll say, man, they're right about that guy. What a super, super good guy Dave Nandengay is.
Yeah, he and his son Johnny travel a lot out here to watch football games. They love coming to NUIC games, so it's always great to, you know, accidentally run into them. And then the other thing is, I believe he's retired from the Illinois State Police, and I always thought he was too mild-mannered and nice to be a good patrolman, but maybe I was wrong on that account. So.
Yeah, and I see here just some stats. The website has had more than 1 million unique visitors and nearly 10 million page views over the last 20 years. On average, 115 people visit the site each day, with about 400 pages being viewed. And among the most popular pages, and I'll testify to this, are the mascots and nicknames page and the closed schools by county page. Again, a user-friendly site, you know, basically in alphabetical order. So, again, recognizing the great Dave Nandengay, if you haven't had a chance to visit the site, it's IllinoisHighSchoolGloryDays.com. Again, a great guy that's been recognized by the Illinois Basketball Coaches Association. And I think the other cool thing that I saw, and this talks about the impact, Brian, he's had, is, you know, it's much more than just kind of a high school sports thing, right? I mean, this is a guy that was recognized by the Illinois Historical Society in Springfield as the best historical website in Illinois. I think that's a pretty cool honor for him when he just started back in 2005. Hey, I'm going to look at old high schools.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember hearing him speak at Mineral, and he talked about how, like, his daughters had to help and whatever. And, you know, at one point, I think they were changing their web address or something, and they thought they were going to lose all this information. But, yeah, it's 20 years, and we want to wish him happy anniversary. That is amazing. And I know you brought it to my attention many years ago, and I visit it from time to time and just get, you know, nostalgic for the old days.
He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Aledo. And this is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Building relationships, supporting the community, and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Step into style and comfort at 6140 Run in Galesburg. If you need new footwear, 6140 Run has just the right fit. Check out their quality brands for fitness, Hoka, Saucony, and Brooks, for just hanging out, Hey Dude and Birkenstock, and even for work, Red Wing and Wolverine. Whether you're hitting the trails, taking a stroll, or just kicking back, 6140 Run has you covered. Stop by their location at 185 Main Street in Galesburg and find your perfect pair today.
All right, winding down the WMJ Sports Line on a Saturday morning from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios. I was thinking, do we have Cardinal spring training baseball coming up in February?
Yes, this month.
Are you kidding me?
Yep.
And then I always think about baseball season, well, because Fred Lucas was in here. I said, if we want to get to the playoffs in, like, football, basically you have to go through all the way from April to, like, November if your team gets to the World Series in the high school football season. The next high school football season is already over. So we'll have Cardinal baseball coming up later this month. Crazy. And then Illini basketball tomorrow in the noon hour playing the Ohio State University. I don't think we've told people officially on Sportsline yet, but I know I did it in some of my newscasts on the radio station. You can hear me at 5:30, 6:00. We're going to be the official home of the Chicago Bears next fall for their radio broadcast.
That, like, we're going to be the flagship station. No,
the official home.
And I'm
the official
be
the home
of
the John Deere. No, wait, yeah. I can't say that. But we'll have Chicago Bears football on next year, which I think will be exciting with the new coaching staff coming in. We have, and then, of course, they'll be in the playoff next year in college football, the Fighting Illini with Brett Bielema. But anyway, high school hoops coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. I'm intrigued by this game today, Sherrard and Bureau Valley. And we were talking briefly about girls basketball earlier with the margin of defeat, surprising, 26-point loss by Sherrard against Riverdale. I mean, it's not a surprise that Riverdale picked up the win, but the margin again. But man, one of the key games in girls basketball, you know, kind of with statewide implications, A-Town, who's having a remarkable year in 1A.
Number one ranked team in the state.
Took on, of course, the Peoria Notre Dame defending 2A state champs, who I think still have four Division I prospects on their roster, and they're just at a completely different level. So what was it, 46? What was the score at halftime?
46-10, Notre Dame, and 72-39.
And you know how good A-Town is. Yeah. And that tells you the trajectory that Peoria Notre Dame is. But here's what's weird for me when I look at that.
I was told by Coach Swanson that Notre Dame, their best player, has a season-ending injury, and has not been playing.
But you don't hear – it's amazing, though – like in football, if you hear that margin, oh, the parochial schools, you can't do that. But in other sports, you never hear the type of outrage that you do in football, where there's eight classes. But in any other sport, you don't hear that loud of an outcry.
Well, it's because football has the biggest following.
And you're probably right.
And they're like, no, there's never been anything like this season's football state championships. It's never been that loud as it was this year.
Yeah.
It was because, seven of the eight games were won by private schools, and they all were complete blowouts, complete mismatches, all of them, in the private versus public game. So that's why. I mean, and last year's state championship game, Peoria Notre Dame had to score a basket at the buzzer to win in the 2A game.
Yeah.
So they didn't, like, kill everybody by 100 points like there was in the football game.
Well, but the same can be said, though, if Byron beats Montini.
Yeah, but
Montini,
that's one
well,
game.
Well, I know, but that takes that's a public school championship in 3A.
But that's one.
No, I know.
But
that's one.
And they're the
year.
Only team in the whole state in any of those classes
oh, I know,
that had a chance against any of those teams.
Yeah, no question.
Because Monticello in the state championship game, I mean, Montini could have beat them 80-0 if they wanted to.
Probably.
I mean, it just is how it is.
And that's why the complexion of the non-boundary school is going to change dramatically next year.
Altoff, legitimately, I think, I mean, they could have won that game way worse than 57-14.
Well, probably the best game last season would have been Belleville-Altoff playing Montini.
Right, yeah.
And that's why they should be in 3A.
Right.
But I was just, you know, that's why I said. And credit A-Town for wanting to play.
Yeah, that's what, that was Peoria, they Notre picked Dame. That game up midway, you know, through the season. So they do deserve credit for that, because I know, I mean, A-Town, where they're situated, and we've talked about a little bit about this, like our local area in girls basketball, I don't think is really that strong overall. I mean, I think there are quite a few teams around that are not very competitive at all. And like a team like A-Town, where they want to go on a postseason run and they got to the, I think, Sweet 16 last year and brought everybody back, you need to play teams that are really, really good in the regular season. Like, you can't just coast. Like, for them, they're second out of the schedule. Yes, there are some good teams in the Lincoln Trail, like United and Weathersfield, but, you know, I don't like your postseason prospects if your whole second half of the season is, like, playing Galva and Rova and, you know, Anawan. And you got to play good teams. And you know, while they did get destroyed and were outclassed by Notre Dame, a team like A-Town needs to play games like that.
And I can't remember. Is Weathersfield in that subset? Because I know United in A-Town could potentially play four times, and I think, could Weathersfield and A-Town play four times too or not?
Well, it'd be three potentially, but they are all in the same subsectional.
Well, because United in A-Town could play potentially four times because they played twice already, right?
But you said Weathersfield.
Yeah. So has Weathersfield played A-Town yet or not in girls basketball?
Yes, they went to overtime.
Okay. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting as that progresses. But I even think United, if you have to play a team like them four times.
Right.
You know?
Now, the first time they played, it was competitive, but that was the first week of the year, and then A-Town beat them by like 20 the second time they played.
It'd be interesting to follow.
So they would,
but
they could potentially play in the Lincoln Trail tournament, which I think is coming up like next week, and then maybe in the sectional potentially, but we'll see.
All right, boys basketball coming up 2 o'clock hour this afternoon as the Sherrard Tigers play host to the Bureau Valley Storm. That'll do it for the WRMJ Sports Line. Again, our thanks for Fred Lucas for coming in, the new Mercer County football coach. If you missed the interview in the early portion of our program, it'll be available on demand here momentarily. And that'll do it for Ty Taylor, Jim Taylor, saying so long from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Toledo.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Brought to you by Diamond Ag, your local ag retail supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville. Your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, farm, or business by 6140 Running Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots. And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. The preceding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice of Western Illinois.